Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Wednesday, January 31st, 2018. With me today, Kelly Gaumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm doing great. And good morning, Kelly.
Hi, John.
Oh, it's great to have both of you here. Listeners, it's also great that you are here as well. So, thanks for being here. And we should just kind of like hop right into it because we have tech stuff to talk today. So here's the deal. Everyone has been comparing HomePod to Amazon Echo and Google Home for months, like ever since last June when Apple first showed us HomePod at Worldwide Developers Conference. And so I thought now that we have a lot more information about HomePod, it's time to do a comparison that makes sense because everyone's been talking about more esoteric things like the voice control features and they're talking about stuff where we can't really test it ourselves yet.
So, well, and they're not talking so much as eye rolling. Let's just get that out there.
Okay.
What is this? What do we do with it? What's it for? And then finding ways to compare it in a subjective fashion so that the HomePod continues to come up short and make people and air quote lend air quote credibility to the argument that the HomePod is a weird thing that nobody wants, that shouldn't exist. What's Apple doing? Doomed. Here we are.
Right. So that was an excellent summary of life since June of 2017. Okay. So here's what I did. I thought, why not look for something tangible? So I went and got the tech specs for all three and compared those because I figured that's actually a pretty reasonable comparison because I'm not going to be sitting here throwing emotion into it. I'm just looking at numbers. So that's exactly what I did. And I thought we should kind of dive into this a little bit today. And if there are questions that you guys have about any of the information that I found, then we're just going to hammer right through it. So here's the fast rundown. HomePod has 7 speakers and a woofer. Amazon Echo has a speaker and a woofer, so a tweeter and a woofer. And then a HomePod has a single speaker, but it has these two secondary speaker elements that are part of it. So even though it's a single speaker,
Google Home.
See, here's part of the problem. The names are all similar and they blend together after a while. Anyhow, so here's the deal. 7 tweeters, 1 high excursion woofer in HomePod, 1 tweeter and 1 woofer in Echo, and 1 high excursion speaker with dual 2-inch passive radiators on the Google Home.
And what's a high excursion speaker?
That's actually a really great question. So thank you for asking. Okay, so a high excursion speaker is a speaker where that membrane that vibrates to create the sound has more space to travel than other speakers would have. So depending on the speaker you have and the setup, you potentially can have a wider dynamic range from that speaker if it has high excursion. That's not true in every case, but just in a very general sense, that's what you get. So the very simple explanation would be that membrane has a lot more travel in a high excursion speaker than in other speakers.
Okay.
Which is going to push a lot more air into your ear.
Right. Means that it's conveying more sound to me, right?
Potentially.
Okay. Yeah. Or at least more detail.
Potentially.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah. But not necessarily louder. So when we look at the HomePod with that high excursion woofer, the idea I believe, is that Apple is using that to help fill out the sound in the room. And this is a kind of thing that you see a lot of times in cars. A lot of the woofers in car speaker systems will be high excursion to help
fill out the sound. Yeah, but you know that... That chart doesn't tell the whole story. It's numerical.
Yes.
And it lays out the first order story.
Yes.
But and that's good. But it doesn't really tell the tale of the distortion levels.
That's
true. It doesn't tell the story of the immersive effect that it has on your ears and your body when you listen to it.
That's true as well.
So that's kind of hard to quantify, which is, as you said in the beginning, you were sticking to quantifiable numbers, so that's good. But I imagine that there's a much more dramatic, I'm guessing, difference in the sound than the chart would even suggest.
Well, and that's the rest of that is users, I think, because there are two huge unknowns in this. There is the source of that music, because the source is not the speakers themselves. The source is something else. Whether if you have an Echo Bass, you may be using Amazon Music to stream to that. If you have Google Home, you're probably using the Google Music service for that. If you have a HomePod, you are probably going to be using Apple Music for that. I know there are other services. You could be listening to Pandora on one of them. You could have crappy Wi-Fi in parts of your house where you're doing this, and maybe the stream doesn't sound so great because it has to ratchet down to lower quality in order to continue to stream that music to you. Maybe the source of that music is your phone, and everything you have on your phone is an MP3 or an AAC file of a reasonable quality, but maybe not an exceptional quality. Or maybe there's someplace else that music is coming from. And I'm going to go out on a way, way out on a limb here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that if all three of us had HomePods and we were putting music on them, the music itself that each of us would be playing on that HomePod probably varies quite a bit just between the three of us. I'm going out on a limb here. And I'm going to say this might be a thing where what I'm doing is very different. Because, I mean, we know if John gets a HomePod, the first thing he's going to do is go full Wu-Tang on it. We know that.
Oh, totally.
Oh, full what?
We'll explain after the show, hon.
Is that a euphemism for Prokofiev?
No, it's really not.
That was awesome. I am so glad that
we're recording right now.
Not just that, but that we started this series when we did so that it could build up through over 900 episodes for this one moment.
So like, we know that's where John's going, right? So I'm gonna, like, all I've got on mine is, you know, Hank Williams. not junior, OG. You know, and then, you know, I know that Jeff, yours is all, you know, baby metal and covers of baby metal. So when you take all three of those, like, each of us is going to have a very different experience based on what we're listening to and how that's going to work.
The Chocolate Song is going to sound amazing on this.
Right? It's going to be so great.
There's a subset of people that actually understand what I just said.
And hello to both of you. I hope you're enjoying the show. So this is a thing that I think, that, first of all, like, a lot of this conversation sounds to me a lot like the window before something was released, you know, between announcement and release, because Apple does this once in a while. We've seen the thing. We know it's a thing. It exists in the world, and yet, like, it's not released to the world at large. You know, lots of people had an iPod in their hand before any of us ever actually saw one. Mm-hmm. We saw one on stage, and a lot of people kind of went, why is Apple doing this? I have an MP3 player. It's fine.
Oh, no.
What does this matter?
No, I was in the room with
it's
Steve
so out expensive.
Of his pocket, and I went, the MP3 player I have now holds 10 songs. It's a piece of crap. Steve Jobs pulls it out of his pocket and says, 1,000 songs in your pocket. And I go, yes, I'm in. Yes, where can I get one?
Right. But John, you were on one side. There was another side that went, why is Apple doing this? This doesn't make any sense. I don't know who this is for. I don't know what it's supposed to
be. Because iTunes came first, and we were ripping CDs, and we were building our library from ripped CDs.
But the media didn't see that, John.
John, I'm not talking about in the room. I'm not talking about Apple people. I'm talking about the reaction out in the world to a thing that Apple did, which is the same thing that we're seeing with the HomePod, which is the same thing that we saw with other stuff. There's a whole lot. Because nobody stopped and thought and went, you know, this is going to be what opens up. No. Not everybody did. No, There's a review.
The media thought the iPod was going to be a failure. The media thought the iPhone was going to be a failure. The media.
I don't remember that kind of reaction to the iPod. I remember the reaction thinking, that's a wee bit expensive, but it sold like hotcakes.
It did. Yeah, but it did sell, and the media was wrong.
It sold initially because people were able to get their hands on it, see the value in it, etc. That was a thing that happened. But wasn't it remember there was a review of the original iPod that was like, too expensive, only 5 gig or something like that. It'll never sell.
Only 5 gig. The first 1-inch gigabyte drive in the history of the planet goes into the iPod, and then you're saying only 5 gig? Holy
John,
crap.
I'm not debating the review. I thought the iPod was a very interesting device. I'm not who you need to sell on this. I had one. I loved it so much. I still have my 5.5 Gen. I use it at least weekly because a lot of times I get in the car and that's where my music is coming from. It's totally a thing. But there was a review that was that. And like, you hear that every once in a while, you know, somebody will go like, doesn't hold enough songs or whatever. Anyway, the point remains that there has been, this is just the first in a series of things that Apple has announced and not gotten out into anybody's hands yet. And everybody's reaction before they get their hands on it is either yawning or a big bag of meh. Who is this for? I don't know what it's supposed to do. Who is Apple trying to sell this
to? The people
what does it matter?
Apple
of course
visit,
it's going
to
fail. Doomed.
People who visit Apple and get a good briefing and get material and are fully informed, write great articles. Lance Ilanoff wrote one. I pointed to it in Particle Debris on Friday. That Lance Ilanoff article is the kind of article that should be written about the HomePod from somebody who's an experienced reviewer and writer and has been fully briefed by Apple on its features. Everybody else who hasn't had their hands on one is just like the blind man touching the elephant.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I wanted to look at numbers just to see how they matched up on paper. And I found that the whole thing with the speakers to be fascinating because all three of these devices handled the speakers in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Apple with that array, excuse me, of 7 speakers all the way around, and then the one woofer facing up, and then you have the Echo where you have one speaker facing up, the tweeter, and then you have the one woofer pointing down, and then you have the Google Home where it's one speaker facing up, but these radiative secondary speakers that point to the sides. And totally different ways of handling this,
that's because of the placement of the device. You can stick an Echo on a coffee table or mm-hmm. put it on the island in the kitchen, or talk to it while you're cooking. So the environment is different. When you buy a HomePod, unlike Dave Hamilton, who's planning on putting it in the kitchen and splattering spaghetti sauce all over it, like we talked about last week. I believe most users are going to put a HomePod in a very special place where they think they'll benefit from the acoustics, it'll be protected, and it'll be, you know, sort of like in a special place for their home listening experience.
And I think that's exactly what a lot of people will do. I think for many potential buyers, that may be a place that is near the kitchen. And that's because one of the scenarios that Apple has been testing and envisioning for HomePod are smaller apartments. So an apartment like my old apartment where the kitchen, living room, and my office all just kind of blended together as a big space.
Mm-hmm.
And the optimum placement for a speaker like this in my old place might have been on the kitchen counter.
Mm-hmm.
Just because where everything was.
Well, that's an interesting point you make about how it's targeted at a class of people who live in a certain kind of apartment, maybe can't yet afford a house, and they have a different idea about how to place it. That's an interesting point.
Well, that's part of what, when I considered this, like I've said this before, which is that this is meant to be a really nice, I'm not going to say high end, but not low end speaker for people who want to put audio on it. And the reason that that's not interesting to me is because having really nice audio in my living space is a problem I have already solved. I solved it with a nice little assist from two lovely people named Bowers and Wilkins, and they've made my house a very, very happy place to listen to.
Oh, Kelly, I love you even more for using B&W.
Oh, well, I had to. Now, they're not the Nautilus, but, you know, someday. So anyway, that aside, like, this is a problem I have solved. We have the space for nice AV equipment. We have, you know, the speakers are like four and a half feet tall or something. And they're large. I have a subwoofer in the corner that, you know, makes for a great foot massage if I go put a nice space battle on, you know. So I have like I have solved this problem at my house. This is a thing that we have done. And in fact, not only have we done it, we've done it twice, because I have a slightly different set of Bowers and Wilkins set up on the other level of the house where there's another television. So like, this is a thing I took care of already, but I'm not everybody. Like, I have a house where I can do that sort of thing, and in fact have a house where there's an entire closet that backs up on the audio system so that all that stuff doesn't have to hang out and expose wires everywhere. It all just sort of tucks through the wall into this closet full of technology. So this is a setup that at my house was a very easy thing to do. Your apartment is probably not compatible with the Bowers and Wilkins setup
not
that I
close.
Have.
But it would be epic.
Could that be contributing to the idea that you mentioned earlier, Kelly, about if it's not for me, it's not for anyone?
Well, I think so, because like, when I look at this, I'm like, well, I don't see a place for it in my life, but mm-hmm. that's because I have had the opportunity to set up the audio exactly how I want it, regardless of, like, without having to take into consideration things like neighbors. I mean, I do consider my neighbors. I don't turn everything up all the way. But, like, I don't have to worry about somebody literally on the other side of the wall from me the way people in apartments do. And so something like this, where a HomePod may give you much better sound than you're getting now from whatever, like, maybe you're using a Bluetooth speaker that you got on sale on Black Friday or something, or somebody maybe bought you one for Christmas, and it's a nice way to stream music from your phone to wherever it is that you are. But like, Jeff, in your old apartment, like, this may have been a really good solution for you. And there are lots of people who live in an apartment or in shared housing in some way, you know, like maybe, or like, you know, it's an Airbnb situation, or like in a duplex, mm-hmm. where there's a lot of opportunity for something like this to really take hold. And like, just because it doesn't solve my problem, like, that doesn't mean there aren't people for whom this problem is already solved. So this could do it, you know. But like I said, like, one of the things people are trying to really talk about is the audio quality. And the reason you can tell that people are trying to compare it on an audio quality scale is because they're comparing it to Sonos, which has already come out into that scene of like, I'm a relatively compact speaker that will give you relatively good sound and is not massive.
Right.
You know,
and Sonos addresses a problem that Dave Hamilton has noted has already been fixed. And so Apple is stepping into an arena here where they're not solving a problem that hasn't been tackled already.
Right.
Yeah.
And which sort of lends credence to Apple making the right move here, because MP3 players existed before Apple made the iPod.
That's true.
Cell phones existed before Apple made the iPhone. Tablets existed before they made the iPad. And I'm just putting it out there, like, this is a thing that people say every time Apple does this. You know, this is already a market. You're not creating a new one. Why are you doing this? And it's true. They are not creating a market for a reasonably compact, reasonably quality speaker. But what they could be doing is making that market bigger. You know, lots of people didn't consider a tablet until Apple made one. Lots of people didn't consider a smartphone until Apple made one. Lots of people didn't consider an MP3 player until Apple made one. For whatever reason, it was that that got their attention. So I don't... One thing that sort of confuses me about this is the not for me versus not means it's not for anybody. And the other thing that confuses me about this is if you go find and replace any one of the articles from the last 6 months about this and swap out HomePod for iPod or for iPhone, like it could have been an article from a few years before now. And that's the only difference because we've had this conversation before and it comes out and it sells like crazy. And then they sell even more. And then all of a sudden, all of those people who are right now, like not caring about it, care very much about it because it's been forced to get their attention because these people, the people right now who are bashing it the hardest do not appear to be a standard issue consumer, a person who lives in an apartment or a person who doesn't have a really nice AV setup right now and maybe is looking for something better than what they've got. And this is a good way to do that because you can also boss it around.
There could be a reason for that, Kelly. Maybe you're writing for a website. I'm just hypothesizing that has bashed Apple in the past and you're off their Christmas card list. And so when you ask for a presentation or a briefing or materials, Apple has other sites that they are more favored. And so absent a full briefing and understanding of the product, you're left to your own ignorance and devices. So you keep on bashing. So it could be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
All right. So we're out of time. And I'm surprised we did never get beyond the speakers. So
I want to point out for people who don't know, because we weren't recording at that moment when we were discussing topics for the show, Jeff brought up, okay, so we need a second topic for the show today. And I said, are you sure? And he said, you know, in case. And I'm like, okay. And here we are.
And here we are. All right. So what I want to point out, even though we're a little bit over time, it's the microphones. So all three of these devices use far-field microphones, which means that and with beamforming. So that means that as you move through a space, the microphones can focus on your voice. So they don't lose that link up to your voice. And so that affords better accuracy since the microphones are more accurately picking up your voice. So HomePod has 6 microphones. The Amazon Echo has 7, and I hope I got that right. Yes, 6 in the HomePod, 7 in the Echo, and 2 in the Google Home. And I just find that fascinating that Google went with only 2 microphones, and they're both pointing up, whereas Amazon and Apple chose to position their microphones so they go around the device.
Mm-hmm.
And
interesting.
And I'm not really hearing people complain much about Google Home not hearing them yet. I'm just finding it fascinating that with that they only chose to use 2 upward facing beam forming far field microphones instead of going with an array around the device.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on paper, when I look at all of these numbers, HomePod appears to be hands down the winner. And I'm looking forward to pitting this against my Amazon Echo. And I'm seriously considering going out and getting a Google Home so that I can listen to that.
You're going to pit the two against each other? Sounds like a Stephen Wright joke. Have I said that?
Yes, you have. And you know what? It's still just as funny. So, so I'm going to do an audio comparison because it just seems appropriate that if everyone is bashing Apple ahead of time for audio quality on a speaker we haven't heard yet, and they want to compare it to the Echo, okay, let's compare it to the Echo and see how it sounds. So, so we'll see how it sounds. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how these numbers that I've put on paper or on your screen compare to real-world use. So I'm going to be putting my HomePod through a lot starting on the 9th when it shows up. And
great.
Yes. And so we are really out of time, like way over out of time. So we have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. See you later, Kelly.
Bye, John.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. So glad you're here. Thanks for listening. See you again tomorrow.